and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Nate Wuggehowe, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Senate committee passed a slate of abortion-related bills today. The Senate Committee on Licensing, Constitution, and Federalism passed the bills largely along party lines. One bill would allow a pregnant person to claim a fetus as a dependent on their taxes. Another would give grants to anti-abortion organizations for their crisis pregnancy centers. Only one bill got bipartisan support, a bill to help fund adoption services. The bills have yet to get a hearing in the assembly. An expert on terrorism who lives in Wisconsin says the Palestinian people can't be blamed for Hamas's attack in Israel. Samuel Gold is an Appleton lawyer who worked on anti-terrorism efforts in Israel from 2015 to 2018. He spoke with Civic Media's Todd Alba today about Hamas.
It is a Palestinian terrorist organization, but I would not hold every Palestinian responsible.
Hundreds are dead and many more are wounded. Wisconsin's entire congressional delegation is condemning the attack. There's a new nationwide model to improve Alzheimer's care. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is taking applications from healthcare providers which want to use it. Pete Schwaba reports.
The Mayo Clinic's Angela Lundy says the broader care system for these patients is fragmented. She says families are sometimes kept waiting a long time after getting a diagnosis.
There are resources that are available and out there for individuals, and sometimes those resources are just not something that families are aware of.
Health systems will be incentivized with reimbursements to adopt the frameworks. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Ty Simpson is an advocate for survivors. Nearly one in three women experience domestic violence in their lifetimes. Simpson says abuse comes in many forms.
It's removing somebody and isolating them from their friends and family. It is ridicule. It is jokes and pranks. It is violence against children and animals. It is financial abuse, preventing somebody access from money and funding and food and a car, preventing them from going to the doctor or to church or to their jobs.
Simpson says it's important to model healthy relationships for young people. She says sex education and access to reproductive health care are also important. First Lady Jill Biden is visiting northeastern Wisconsin tonight and tomorrow. The White House says Mrs. Biden will take part in a Packers watch party in Green Bay hosted by the American Cancer Society. It's part of the Biden Cancer Moonshot. That's the president's program to aims that to cut U.S. cancer death rates in half within 25 years. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. Nate Wuggehowe, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents to stay alert on the roads at night as the sun begins to set earlier. The DOT reminds residents 50% of accidents happen at night due to reduced visibility, and with the earlier sunsets, more residents will still be on the road when it gets dark. Drivers should make sure all their lights are working and aimed properly, the windshield is clean, and stay alert for pedestrians or deer on the road in addition to other drivers. A veteran who went missing last week only to be found in Santa Fe, New Mexico, still hasn't returned to Eau Claire County, despite being court-ordered to reside at a group home in Toma. Shane Helmbrecht is reportedly missing again, as his attorneys, his family, nor the Eau Claire Sheriff's Department have had any contact with him. The sheriff's office ordered him to return to Wisconsin within 48 hours, where the district attorney will file a request for a warrant. Helmbrecht was living in a group home after being found not guilty by reason of insanity in a 2016 homicide case. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers on Monday Night Football. Good evening from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the two teams that faced off in Super Bowl II. Vince Lombardi's last game with Green Bay. The Packers and the Raiders. The kickoff coming up here at 7:15. All week, head coach Matt LaFleur has warned us about the Raiders' weapon on defense, pass rusher Max Crosby.
If you think you have a block for a second and you let up, he ends up finding a way to swim you or maneuver around you and hit the quarterback. He is constantly hitting the quarterback, whether the quarterback's got the ball in his hands or not, or he's just releasing it. This guy is a special player. He's one of the best players in this league.
Crosby asked, does he think he compares to the highest paid defensive end in the NFL? The 49ers, Nick Bosa.
Obviously, me and Nick are much different. You know, he's He's a totally different type of player, but, you know, we have a lot of similarities. We know how to get to the quarterback and know how to be disruptive and wreck games.
Tonight is the first time Raiders wide receiver Davante Adams faces off against his old team, the Green Bay Packers.
Once the game starts, it's just like every other game. I mean, it's not going to be a whole lot of emotion and all that other stuff tied up in it once, you know, the clock is ticking. So, you know, the story and the specialness of the opportunity to play the team that you kind of, you know, grew up in that organization is special. But then, like I said, once we get going, it's time to go.
Leaving the Raiders for Green Bay has been a turning point in the career of returner Keyshawn Nixon. Talked about what it's like being the visiting team this time in Las Vegas.
I think it'd be a little weird, but I think it'd be normal. It's a lot of emotions, you know. My first time ever going back there, I'm excited, but it's just another game, honestly.
NBA, the Bucks head to Memphis to play the Grizzlies tomorrow night in preseason basketball. Milwaukee beat the Bulls yesterday, 105-102. The Brewers are awarding their best players of the season. Corbin Burns named the best pitcher for the third straight year. Catcher and slugger William Contreras named the team's MVP. From Las Vegas, with sports, I'm Mike Clem.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And with no disrespect to the young lady doing the singing on the Sunday night dom, everybody's been waiting for Monday night this week. Packers kicking off against the Raiders in Vegas. And of course, more of this fine program, Dom. One more hour of your calls at 844-967-2789. And Mike Clemens, Civic Media's fine sports director, going to check in from Allegiant Field. But Dom, what's the newest you shared with me? The speaker, he's gone mum.
Crudy, as we've discussed in the first hour, the threat of impeachment of Jenna Protasiewicz, which for no apparent reason, well, they don't like the fact she had an opinion about something, although she qualified it with saying that she would rule, you know, impartially on it. And these are the same folks, Crudy, that said, well, Donald Trump said that one time, go in peace. You know, the rest of the time he said, you know, got to fight like hell. Da, 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 da. They're totally fine with that. But here is the latest from Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After warning impeachment could be possible for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Protasiewicz if she did not recuse from a lawsuit before the court challenging the legislature's boundaries, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is not saying whether he'll pursue the unprecedented move now that the liberal justice has announced she will stay on the case. Janet's on the case, Crudy. In his first comments since Protasiewicz said Friday she would not step away from a lawsuit seeking to redraw the electoral maps that give Republicans an advantage in the state legislature, Voss said the U.S. Supreme Court will have the last word. Here's the quote from Speaker Voss. Justice Protasiewicz should have recused herself. We think the United States Supreme Court precedent compels her recusal, and the United States Supreme Court will have the last word here, Voss said in a statement. Justice Protasiewicz is asking to be taken at her word that she will apply the law. Given the Wisconsin Supreme Court is limiting its review of the redistricting case to two questions, legal continuity and separation of powers, applying the law should be straightforward. The Wisconsin Supreme Court addressed these very questions less than 2 years ago, and the law remains the same. Yeah, but different
judges. But the court doesn't.
You're right. The highest offices in Wisconsin government are locked in a ferocious power struggle, yada, yada, yada. We know all of that.
844-967-2789. You can always be a part of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I think Ron from Milwaukee has been the most patient. Welcome, Ron. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ron.
Yep, it's patient Ron right here. I'm going to be a patient if she doesn't all get right through this. I hate to labor a point. I tuned in late, so you may have covered this. But it seems to me, as I recall from maybe it was a Molly Beck article, that the simplest but dirtiest thing that Republicans could do to avoid a fallout from this, their effort, would be to pull a variation on the scheme they've been using where they refuse to approve Evers nominations to cabinet posts. And that it would entail the assembly goes ahead and impeaches her on a vote, and they send it over to the Senate. And even if they think they have the votes to conduct the trial there and do the work and impeach her, they will just sit on it like they sit on so much else. And if they sit on it long enough, you have, I mean, which could be indefinitely, you have a 3-3 Supreme Court because she stays on the court, but she can't vote. Right. I don't know if you covered that, but to me, that's the down and dirty way they would do this. And, of course, they're down and dirty people, so maybe that's how they'll handle it.
Well, Ron, perhaps the only thing you missed is Crudy's conjecture is if they are going to go this down and dirty route, they're going to do it quickly because if they're hoping to take her out, if they're going to do the two-step impeachment, both the 50% in the Assembly and the supermajority in the state Senate, well, all the advantage is to them to take her out before December 1st. But I don't disagree with you. And quite frankly, it takes less political pain on the senator's part if they never have to vote on this, right? It stays out there. It's a logjam. It locks her up in the courts for the whole year. And, you know, perhaps the U.S. Supreme Court does wade in and says, these Republicans, it's a separation of powers issue. They cannot force her recusal. They never move forward with the impeachment. You know, whatever it happens, it's still a long time that she's sidelined. And that would be exactly what Robin Voss wants. One way or another, they don't want a 4-3 liberal court. And they'll do whatever they have to do. I predict and perhaps project. I don't mean to, Susan, out in the yard. But I think that their malfeasance is happening, whether or not Crudy's talking about it on the radio. I just want people to be prepared for what comes next.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. But I'm with you in this regard, Crudy. If they're going to do it, they got to do it before December 1st because they lose the majority of the benefit that they would garner if they allow for Evers and a workaround wait for the next 5 years for someone else. Eventually it will come. And maybe, perhaps, pushing it off another couple of years would be great for the Republicans. But I just think there's going to be a lot of headwind. There's going to be a lot of baggage. And it's not like Proto State, which won by, 20,000 votes. She won by over 200,000 votes. And I don't see anybody who voted for Proto Savage, given the circumstances, knowing the politics here in the state of Wisconsin, that wouldn't show up for her if she happened to be on the ballot again.
Let me point something out, though. The 200,000 vote advantage, huge for a spring election, but the turnout will still be dwarfed by the 2024 presidential primary and the fall election. So the turnout, just because it was historic relative to a spring election, doesn't mean it can't be surpassed next year and certainly will be in a presidential by millions of voters. So everyone that voted for Protasiewicz could bring all their friends that voted for Joe Biden the last time, and she could still lose.
Yeah, but also all the people who didn't show up to vote in the spring election on the Dem side or independent side are going to show up during the presidential. So, yeah, the votes go up all the way around, man. I don't see anything changing the math. Oh, it's going to be a Republican primary. So what? 844.
Because Donald Trump's on the ballot, man. That changes everything for that party.
Well, you know what
if
I'm
he's
saying?
Not on the ballot, they don't show up. They don't show up. They only show up when Trump's on the ballot.
Do you think it only is one-sided, though, man? Come on. I'm certainly more voted.
I do, because look at what happened in the pro-to-savage race.
I'm more motivated to vote against Donald Trump, man. I think everybody is.
Certainly are. And if so, what, you're going to go out and vote for Vivek Ramaswamy in the presidential primary next spring? While you're
right, you don't exactly, man. You don't know what kind of games can get played all the way around, Mr. Crudy, who voted for, who was it?
Rick Santorum. It made me feel very dirty to this very day. I've never scrubbed that off my soul.
You can only try, man. It never goes away.
Here's probably what happened, though. I probably invalidated my ballot by cross-voting for Tammy Baldwin and Rick Santorum on the same primary preference ballot. You know, that I was young and dumb then,
Minor details. 844-967-2789. Let's keep going. Al from Mazo. Welcome, Al. What do you got for us?
Hey, Al.
Well, you guys are pretty close to what my point was going to be. Between the Dems and the Republicans, Democrats and independents, the Republicans can't win a statewide vote. So if we get a hold of Oz and if we go through with this, we all promised that we'd write in Joe Biden for the Republican nomination. we would be showing some kind of numbers against their strength. We could show some real weakness and throw their Republican primary into a great debate.
Well,
it's in disarray.
It's in disarray. Al, I hear what you're saying. I don't know that that would actually work that way. I think Biden would have to run or be on the ballot as a write-in, right?
Well, you could certainly you could go do a little mischief voting across the ballot, because the Supreme Court would be a nonpartisan race, but it would be on the same ballot as the partisan preference primary, which is the Republicans. So we could all go vote for Janet Protasiewicz theoretically, or whoever Tony nominated, or whoever won that primary, and go vote for or against Donald Trump, depending on our point of view.
844-967-2789. Are the Dems not on the? No, the Dems would be on the same primary. Well, they're doing the same primary, right?
Yeah, but nobody's turning out to vote for the incumbent Joe Biden.
Right, but he's going to be on the ballot. Right,
he will be on the ballot as the incumbent president, running unopposed, or perhaps some unknown Democrat will have qualified for the ballot, but effectively he's running unopposed as a Democrat.
So knowing that Joe Biden doesn't have really any Democratic primary opponents, everybody who voted for Jenna Protasiewicz and all the people that are just totally besides themselves, that we even consider that the Republicans will just start willy-nilly impeaching Supreme Court justices because they don't like what they said on the campaign trail. And then you what? Then you cast your vote. You go to vote on a Republican because you can't cross, right? You got to be a one or the other. So now...
Well, but Supreme Court justices...
That's not a partisan race. It is not. It is not. So you could vote for Protasiewicz and then, you know, stick it to a man. Whoever you think would be the least worst, if you actually cared about the Republican side, or you vote for the biggest crazy besides Trump, if you don't care. I mean, there all sorts of things can happen. But again, this is the point. There's so many variables. It's just too much downside. Go ahead.
Here's the problem. Donald Trump's going to have the nomination wrapped up on Super Tuesday, which is March 5th. If we believe the court calendar, he's actually going to trial March 4th. So March 5th. Trump's probably going to have it wrapped up. 22 states on the Republican side will have decided. That's well before the Wisconsin primary, April 2nd, 4th, whatever it is.
Wow, it's almost like maybe the Republicans wouldn't be too motivated to show up because, hell, their guy Trump's already got it locked in. That wouldn't be great for the Republicans either. Now, would it? Especially if they're trying to keep a progressive or liberal or, you know, non-fascist Republican off the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates coming back. More of your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
I will be back.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
It's
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. A freeze warning begins at 1 a.m. early tomorrow morning and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Lows dip down to about 32 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 52 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 35 tomorrow night. Mainly cloudy skies expected. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 a.m. Right now 53.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Going there next at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I don't know if you'd take a note of the fact that Robert Kennedy Jr. announced an independent run for the U.S. presidency, reversing his decision to run as a Democrat. That, according to The Guardian earlier today, Dom, that means the best hope for a contested primary, your girl, Marianne Williamson. I think we met her in Vegas, sort of.
Isn't our, who's our buddy from Green Bay? Isn't he advising our campaign?
Harvey K. Yes.
844-967-2789. I got at least one more caller on this topic. Jack from Merrimack, you are up. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Jack.
Well, I think Janet Protasiewicz is she's going to hear this case, and I would not be surprised if Voss and company decided to impeach her and just, you know, not even bring it before the Senate, just keep her off the court as long as they possibly can. The whole idea, the Republicans, ever since she was even a strong candidate, they've been saying they're going to impeach her. When she won, they said they were going to impeach her. And but they've also been playing this delaying game as much as they can. And that, I think, is the real situation. Okay, they impeach her. If they can delay it long enough, they had a bill that supposedly was going to establish a nonpartisan commission. But of course, there were a few catches with that bill. One of those in that commission was that the legislature had to approve any new maps. Well, you know that any fair maps are not going to get approved, and they get twice to do it, and then, oh yeah, by golly, what a surprise. The legislature would get to draw the maps. So if they can delay it long enough, even if some of their constituents get disgusted with this and decide to vote against Voss and company, possibly this new commission could come up with maps. They could throw out the maps twice, redraw their own again, even as much to their advantage as they have it now. So regardless of what happens with the real voters, the Voss's plan, I think, is to take, or rather keep control and keep stealing control by any means possible.
Well, Jack, that sounds a lot like you agreeing with me.
Yeah, right, man. I got to tell you, I'm kind of disheartened now hearing that, Jack. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Well, clock is ticking, man. He's got to do it based on the dates that we're talking about here within the next less than 8 weeks.
Dom, new headline at the Raw Story, one of my favorite sites, describes it as thus. Matthew Chapman writes, Wisconsin GOP leader, and you know it's trouble when the GOP in Wisconsin is featured on the Raw Story, Dom. Wisconsin GOP leader begs SCOTUS to boot liberal judge from gerrymandering case. And then they've got a smiling Robin Voss wearing a white carnation in his boutonniere. Wisconsin
like an older, Assembly. That looks like an older picture, man. They need to update that slide, I think.
That looks like a senior picture from high school. Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss appeared to suggest he'd push the U.S. Supreme Court to block his state justices from ruling on the gerrymandered legislative districts on Monday, citing the fact that the newly elected judge, Janet Protasiewicz, should not be allowed to hear the matter. Now, we've talked about this quote. I'm going to read it redundantly. Justice Protasiewicz should have recused herself. We think the U.S. Supreme Court precedent compels her recusal. Which case? Cite a case, Voss. I'd like to know which case. And the United States Supreme Court will have the last word here. Justice Protasiewicz is asking to be taken at her word that she will apply the law, given the Wisconsin Supreme Court is limiting its review. Now, we talked about that. He expects, what, the same answer from different judges, because precedent, the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
It's called
Court
stare decisis, but don't worry your pretty little self about it. It's the justice system.
Again, the Wisconsin Supreme Court addressed these very questions less than 2 years ago, and the law remains the same. So anyways, always nice to see that we're being featured in the Raw Story, Dom, for our bad governance here in the state of Wisconsin.
Not every time, man. Wisconsin makes the national news. It's bad governance or sports or, like, you know, serial killers.
Or like Aaron Rodgers, where bad governance met sports.
2789. Yes, yes. Like that.
Mr. Pfizer. Dom, so what we haven't touched on yet is the weekend's events in the Middle East. And I got to tell you, not quite sure how to react to this. I know that you're going to go long tonight. You're going to go with Maggie Dawn. You're going to do extended coverage across the network on the Maggie Dawn show. So I'm going to leave a lot of meat on this bone for you, Dom. But I got to tell you, man, I'm not exactly sure how to react when there's a terrorist act in the Middle East. And if you'd asked me last week, I would have said two-state solution. You know, you need a Palestine, you need a place for the Palestinian people, and you need a place for the Jewish people. And I'm not sure if they can coexist on this little piece of land. And under Netanyahu, my understanding is, Dom, they have been out there very aggressively. The Israelis have been settling this little strip of land, and there's not a hell of a lot left for them. And now that Hamas is attacked, Gaza is under siege. And when we talk about under siege, I mean, no water, no electric, no food, no provisions. This is going to turn into a calamity. War has been declared for the first time since the early 1970s. I'm watching the skyline on CNN. No missiles going right now, Dom, but that doesn't mean they're not coming.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Coming back with more of your phone calls. Perhaps we'll get into this topic just a little bit. Our number, 844-967-2789. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Benjamin Netanyahu ordering a siege of Gaza, cutting off water and electricity to the region. Hamas, in turn, pledging to kill Israeli hostages if Israel attacks civilian targets. The United Nations warns the conflict could make an already desperate humanitarian situation worse.
Following this weekend's emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council, Secretary General Antonio Guterres Monday.
I'm deeply distressed by today's announcement that Israel will initiate a complete seizure
of the Gaza Strip, nothing allowed in, no electricity, food, or fuel.
He says the humanitarian situation in Gaza was already extremely dire.
Now it will only deteriorate exponentially.
Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
House Republicans meeting today to decide on a new speaker. With the House unable to pass supplemental aid for Israel without a speaker, some moderates are reportedly calling for recently ousted Kevin McCarthy to return. Speaker McCarthy said it's up to the Republican conference. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A 41-year-old Rusk County man was arrested after a multi-county chase Friday night. The Marathon County Sheriff's Department says that they got the call just before 9 from a person driving northbound on US 51 near Maine, where the driver said they and their vehicle had been shot. The suspect, Benny Green of Tony, fled from sheriff's deputies and drove back into Marathon County, where the Wausau Police Department tried to use spike strips to deflate his tires. A Lincoln County Sheriff's deputy ended the chase when they rammed Green's car with their cruiser in Wausau. A rural minority community in Alabama may be paying the price as Wisconsin looks to expel PFAS from the state. According to a Wisconsin Watch report, the state is trucking nearly 40,000 gallons of the forever chemicals to Amell, Alabama, which is home to the country's largest hazardous waste landfills. The federal government has flagged the area, which will now hold the forever chemicals from Wisconsin, as vulnerable to environmental injustice. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Dom, the Monday happy hour. Looking forward to a Packer game kicking off on WRJN, our flagship, about 7:15 all across the Civic Media station, at least over the air on the Big Q 98.3 FM in the Northwoods and WRCO 100.9 FM in southwestern Wisconsin. And Dom, let me just shout out, our fans have tracked me down here at the Oxbow Hotel in Eau Claire. I have been sent, delivered to my room anonymously, so thank you. I didn't get the name. A California sober hazy ginger ale with 10 milligrams of THC-9. And also, Dom, cookies. I have had cookies delivered to the room, and this is some damn good stuff. So cheers.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate the love. You can call us 844-967-2789. Trucker Dean from the road at Ladysmith. Welcome, Dean. What do you got for us?
Dean, try the wonders of nature, hemp products. Is that from you, Dean?
Hey, yes, it is. Yes, it is. If I'd have known you were in Oxbow, my son lives right up on top of the hill.
Okay. Yeah, man, I'm right here. Tell him to come on down and party after the game. I'll be looking for a friend.
Oh, after the game? Okay, I'll tell him. Yeah, when I heard you were at the Oxbow, I called him up. I said, hey, Crudy would like some cookies. So he went down and got some for you.
That is a one. Awesome, and he didn't. He sent two, Dean. One for Mrs. Crudy, apparently.
Good, I bet she only get like a half.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how strong they are. So,
but I'll tell you on a later edition of this show, Dean.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. So, but yeah, you enjoy your anniversary Thanks. Or something?
It's we're here to celebrate my wife's birthday. We've got concert tickets. Okay. We're going to the Pablo Center or whatever it's called down here. We're going to see Amos Lee tonight.
Amos Lee. Don't recognize that name.
Well,
enjoy.
I'm enjoying already, Trucker Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
What a kind. That's so cool, man. People like. Love. I can't remember. I believe it was Amory, Wisconsin. And I got out on Main Street in Amory, Wisconsin. And I'm looking around for a storefront. And a lady says, Crudy, what are you doing in Amory? And I'm like, how do they recognize me? It must be the hat. 844-967-2789. Thank you, Trucker Dean. Dom, so your take... Quickly, I just want to point out, Tim Scott is currently being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer. And I got to tell you, I think he's had a disgusting lying through his teeth take on this. He wants to blame this Hamas attack on the Israelis, on Joe Biden. He is being quoted today as saying Joe Biden is complicit with Hamas. And every part of the statement put out by presidential candidate and U.S. Senator Tim Scott, as near as I could tell, is easily refuted as a lie, Dom. So these Republicans, so much for standing united in a time like this. If this is Israel's 9/11, these Republicans are trying to figure out how to blame it on the U.S. president.
It's just anytime, any way to get some sort of political edge, perhaps. I mean, I don't know how anybody could be, so callous about it. I mean, the Israeli citizens have a right to exist and live. The Palestinian citizens have a right to exist and live, hopefully peacefully next to each other. Leadership matters. History matters. Religion matters. And so, I'm going to be on with Maggie, the Maggie Dawn show coming up at 6 o'clock, and she had initially asked me if I wanted to join her for a segment to talk about atheism, religion, all that kind of stuff. You folks know, if you listen to me, I'm all down for that. Don't believe any of that stuff. I think that stuff is terrible for humanity. And I look at what happened here over the weekend. And what is this? Well, it's religious, man. It's religious fighting. It's, this is a very sacred place for our religion, or that's a very sacred place for our religion, too. Well, you can't do this, and we can't do that. So, history, the cultural, the religion part of it, terrible. That's one of the main problems. That aside, leadership matters. Netanyahu? Do you remember all the protests that were going on over the judicial reform that Netanyahu was trying to instill to consolidate power for himself, perhaps? Lots of people in the street. The reading that I've done, my understanding, Netanyahu, right-wing kind of wackadoo guy, right? So, and corrupt. Well, whatever. There you go. We know plenty about that here. The Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip ruled by Hamas, right? Oh man, I mean that's not the Palestinian people. Those are the ones that have the arms and are funded and are dictating policy and apparently terrorist attacks and assault. Well, the other thing, how do you have almost 2 million Palestinians stuck in a 20-mile by 3-7-mile strip of land, as I've seen it, is described as an open-air prison. I mean, there's lots of historical things going on. There's lots of political current, you know, lots of moving pieces. But here's at the end of the day. If it wasn't for the religion and you think that, oh, this mosque is holy for us and we don't like this or that, if it wasn't for that, would we even be having these conversations? I don't think so. I don't think so. You don't see, I don't think that's the case. Religion drives it to a degree. And what drives the religion? Well, power, the opioid of the masses, right? Be it Netanyahu or Hamas. You can't, how are you going to, you know, murder innocent civilians at a concert and, you know, Allahu Akbar, glory to God. How is that glory to God? How do you in response just light up the Gaza Strip with, you know, massive weapons systems provided by the United States and killing innocent Palestinian children? How is that good? So, man, the religion to me is what drives this entire thing. The entire thing. So that's my take, Curdy. If you got one, I'd love to hear it.
Well, we've got plenty on the text line, Dom. I'm reading some. I'll read a few aloud. 844-967-2789. You can always call us, or you can text us here, or you can use the Shiny Civic Media app, and it comes right to my phone. Here are a few of the takes from the callers and texters, Dom. No way Hamas would have done this with Trump in office, just like Putin, right? That's what Trump would claim, of course. Here's another one listening on WMDX, texting in from the 814. They were blaming Biden on Icky Vicky for supporting Hamas. Yeah, I know they were. They often do. You know,
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
That. Nobody's supporting Hamas. But anyways, Dana from La Crosse, our buddy, just saw him last week. Shout out, Dana. And go Eagles. Quick side note, little digression here. I know this is an important topic. But John Larson, the special teams coach on the University of Wisconsin La Crosse Eagles, joined us from La Crosse recently. He's a college buddy, and his kicker kicked a 51-yard field goal to beat Whitewater this weekend, 37-34. Go Eagles. Anyways, Dana says on the text line, remember when Trump leaked a bunch of Israeli info to the Russians in the Oval Office the day after he fired Comey? No translators were allowed. That's the day he had a couple of surgeries down, right, Don?
No, it's not just Dana. It's also Tom Hartman. I'm seeing it all over the social medias that that perhaps Russia got information from Trump. Russia gave information to Iran. Iran gave information to Hamas on how to, you know, what, get around the dome security system that they have instilled in Israel. Well, I mean, it's a great question. Saw this one at the Newsweek. And again, we'll take your calls on this. 844-967-2789. Brendan Cole reporting. Benjamin Netanyahu, quote unquote, bears responsibility for the deadliest raid into Israeli territory in 15 years. The newspaper Haaretz said. The publication blamed intelligence failures and the Israeli prime minister's policy towards Palestinians for the attack by Hamas militants from the Gaza Strip that has so far killed hundreds of Israelis. To my understanding, at least 11 Americans also killed, according to President Joe Biden. Newsweek continues. The Palestinian Health Ministry said more than 400 people, including scores of children, have been killed in Israeli strikes, with Israel's Air Force saying it hit more than 500 Hamas and Islamic Jihad targets in the Gaza Strip. As the consequences of the deadliest raid into Israeli territory since Egypt and Syria's attacks in the 1973 Yom Kippur War continue to unravel, the editorial board of Israel's third biggest newspaper said the conflict is the clear responsibility of one person, Benjamin Netanyahu. The op-ed said that the prime minister had completely failed to identify the dangers he was consciously leading Israel into when he established a government of annexation and dispossession by appointing Bezalel and some other folks to key positions. I won't butcher their names. Apparently, the editorial from the newspaper blames them as well. A right-wing politician appointed by the Minister of Finance in 2022 caused controversy by expanding Israeli settlements in the West Bank and opposing Palestinian statehood. Ben-Gvir is the security menace who has faced charges of hate speech against Arabs. Paper says Netanyahu's foreign policy openly ignored the existence and rights of Palestinians and expected the Israeli prime minister to certainly try to evade his responsibility and cast a blame on the heads of the army, military intelligence, and the security service. However, the military intelligence failures does not absolve Netanyahu of his overall responsibility for the crisis, and he is the ultimate arbiter of Israeli foreign and security affairs. The piece said Netanyahu's shaped policy of the government led by Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid, which aimed to crush the Palestinian national movement in both its wing, the Gaza and the West Bank. Newspaper said that after winning in the last election, his fully right government had taken steps to annex the West Bank and carry out ethnic cleansing in parts of the Oslo-defined Area C, including Hebron Hills and the Jordan Valley. The piece criticized Netanyahu for a massive expansion of settlements, an increase in the Jewish presence at the Temple Mount near the Al-Aqsa Mosque, as well as a peace deal with Saudi Arabia in which Palestinians get nothing. Another quote, signs of an outbreak of hostilities began in the West Bank, where Palestinians started feeling the heavier hand of Israeli occupier, the newspaper said. Hamas exploited the opportunity in order to launch its surprise attack. Newspaper said Netanyahu's indictment in three corruption cases left him unable to look after state affairs, as he was behind his establishment of a horrific coalition and the enfeeblement of top army and intelligence officers. Price was paid by victims of the invasion in the country, it's said.
844-967-2789. Now, Dominic, we're going to have a turn towards the Packer game tonight. They're playing against the Raiders in Vegas. Our own sports director, Mike Clemens, going to join us shortly, checking in from the site of the game. Going to kick off on our flagship WRJN. I believe the kickoff about 7:15, Dom. But a few of the people on the text line starting to point out Lester Holt, David Muir, Ellie Velshi, etc., all showing up in Tel Aviv to cover the Middle East war. Maybe Tom and Crute could take the show on the road to the King of Falafel or Knopf Knopf Grill or to a studio DoorDash near you, apparently. And then Dana points out, our friend Dana from La Crosse, watching playoff baseball on mute while listening to the Devils. It doesn't get much better. Dana, if the Brewers ain't playing, man, there ain't no playoffs. I told you that. One other odd thing I heard, Kevin McCarthy's throwing himself back into contention as Speaker of the House because in these desperate times, we need desperate measures. Like more Kevin McCarthy?
Pretty desperate people like Kevin McCarthy? Oh, my God. All right, folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Sports reporter Mike, he's going to come by, tell us all about the Packers. You know, I'm going to have to ask him about those Lions because they were looking pretty strong leading the NFC North. And then the Make It Dawn show coming up at 6. Come back, stick around. We will be right back.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A freeze warning begins at 1 a.m. early tomorrow morning and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 32. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 52. Lows dip down to about 35. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 54.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our last segment of the day, but stick around. Maggie Dawn Show coming next. I will join Maggie 6 to 7.
And some of us have other alternative plans to go watch Packer game or listen to the Packers or perhaps go to an Amos Lee concert and then catch the fourth quarter of the Packers. But that's why we got our own sports reporter, Civic Media's own sports director, Mike Clemens, giving us a little preview so I'll know what I'm going to miss. Mike, welcome back to the show. How's the weather in Vegas, my friend?
Hey, Mike.
That part's nice. It's warm. It's sunny, a little bit of clouds, and it's like 91, 92 degrees. Ooh. I'm waiting here for the media shuttle to pick me up. I'm about, last night I went to check out the stadium, and I put a little tweet out because Allegiant Stadium is beautiful, nice facility, and it's right by Mandalay Bay, you know? Except then overnight, the little elves come out and they set these little cones and they block all the way to get there. So I'm waiting to get a media shuttle here. But, we got some news about the Packers and some changes. You know, you're going against Max Crosby, who usually lines up on the left side of the Raiders' defensive line. I mean, you know, you're talking about Dick Butkus last week. This guy plays like Butkus did 50 years ago. He's all over the field. He's tenacious. Matt LaFleur talked about him a couple of days. And you'd like to run at that kind of a guy. You'd like to run the football at him. And Aaron Jones got in a couple of snaps in the game against the Lions. We talked to him on Thursday. He's been dealing with this hamstring injury he suffered week one against the Bears, where he said, "Hey, just tweaked it. It's not that serious." But he's missed all these games since then. And on Thursday, he told us, he talked just 10, 15 minutes, like, "Oh, no, I'm sure I'm playing the Raiders game." And, no, I didn't even know they had me on a pitch count in that Thursday night game against the Lions. Well, now he's out of the game. I was there at Saturday's practice. He was out there. This is interesting, though. I took a video of it, and I posted it because they had A.J. Dillon out there. They had Emmanuel Wilson, the number two running back, and they had Patrick Taylor back up, who's been with the team a couple of years. And I thought, you know, today, if Aaron Jones can't go with some of those network reports, then I think you bring in Patrick Taylor for the blocking back to deal with this Max Crosby, so at least Jordan Love has a chance at the football. So they made those changes today. They also brought up Corey Ballantyne to make room on the roster. So they let go of a linebacker that we had for a couple of years, Justin Hollins. They had to release him from the roster to get ready for tonight's game.
Now, Mike Clements, our fine sports director here at Civic Media, not new news, but heartbreaking news. Bakhtiari has announced he's out for the year, and maybe they've finally figured out what's wrong with that knee, but that's not going to help us out this year, and certainly not tonight, is it, Mike?
Mike, we talked to him for 40 minutes Friday afternoon, and here's the deal. This guy wants to play. He wants to play, and he wants to play in Green Bay. He suffered that thing 2.5 years ago, and at the time they said, "No, we'll just do the ACL, and you should be fine." And, you know, he wanted to get back on the field by the next season. He was going to miss that playoff run. And 4 times now he's had to have the knee scoped because he had these fluids, like 160 C's. You know, he had this inflammation, pain. And so they said, you know what, after 4 of these surgeries, they got down to about a week. They just scoped it again 2 weeks ago. They said, you know what? You got to have the cartilage surgery. We probably should have done this in the first place. Well, the doctors also say it's different for everybody.
when you, some people, they have that ACL, that sets off all kinds of other problems, and that's what happened to David Bakhtiari.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Looking forward to a big Packer game tonight in Vegas. Our own sports director, Mike Clements, in Vegas. He's getting ready to get on the sports shuttle. Let us know if you got to hop on board, Mike. But tell us about the defense, Mike. It sounds like we're getting a few of our better players back. What's the status of Alexander and Clark?
Man, I don't know. I think, you know what? They also elevated Corey Ballantyne, another corner. And that doesn't bode well for Jair Alexander and this mysterious back injury he's had the last couple of weeks. The good news, if you will, is that Davante Adams, they reported today, he got drilled into the turf in this game against the Chargers last week. It's an AC sprain for Davante Adams. So he's going to try and give it a go tonight, but that's what he's dealing with as, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo comes back at quarterback after a concussion. Other than that, you know, Rashawn Gary is looking great. Defensive line has been good. So, you know, the defense should give the Raiders offense some trouble.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you a question. The NFC North, my Lions, man, looking very strong to, you know, my casual eye. They took it to the team last night. What's your sense on how they're looking right now? Do you think this is for real? And you think Packers can catch them?
I think clearly the leader in the division, Dom. I mean, they're powerful. They're having fun. They're flying around. And then that one play that I saw a highlight of where Jared Goff lines up and looks like he's going to be under center, and somehow they snap it. I watched that thing three or four times. I don't know if it did it go between his legs or around him, but it went back to the halfback that was in I formation. You know what play I'm talking about? They were down near the goal line. They almost got a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're having fun. They're having fun, and Dan Campbell is the hottest coach in the league right now. These guys are playing for him, and it's pretty amazing to watch.
Did you see Aiden Hutchinson, that strapping lad, the defensive tackle, get that interception, and then just take a shot?
Just take a shot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it just goes to show you these are professionals, right? And Hutchinson's a big guy, but he wasn't, you know, once he got the ball and he was like kind of shocked that he had it and started running, his head was not on a swivel and he took a shot to the legs and kind of got the Charlie horse, it looked like, limping off. But no matter how big and bad you are, you got to keep your head on a swivel with these professional football players.
Hey, Mike. They just had a bunch of Packer fans get out.
Hey, I just got to say, Dom, nobody cares about your Detroit Lions. Not until we play them. We got our fine sports director. He's Mike Clements. He's out in Vegas for a Packer game, not a Detroit game. And my understanding is the Packer team showed up wearing silly body T-shirts, and apparently that's to rib their teammate Jordan Love.
Yeah, I read that somewhere online. It's something that his girlfriend put on there that he doesn't say that he's ticklish. He says it gives him a silly body. So that's the term got swirling around the locker room. Somebody made a video out of it. So now they're teasing their quarterback that, oh, you got a silly body, do you, instead of being ticklish. So, yeah, a little fun with TikTok there.
Real quick, Mike, make a prediction. I know you're a journalist, not a prognosticator, but what do you think the chance is for our green and gold?
I'm going to take the quarterback. I'm going to take the Packers defense, and I'm going to take the younger brother as the kickers. I'll take Packers tonight.
I like all those choices. Mike Clements, thank you so much for joining us live from Las Vegas, site of the Packers game a little bit later. Thank you all for listening to the...
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to the this day. A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin, still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The ants are coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media app.
News, I'm Andy.